What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computer's weekly tech podcast. This is episode 369, and our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something that gives us a little kickback and keeps the podcast ongoing. What's going on, Ryan? Ryan's here.
Need to look this way because you've got us switched around. I'm on the left today.
Oh, well, here. Wait. There we go.
There we go. I feel better now.
Yeah. Well, see, if we started the podcast with you on that side, I think you should have started the podcast, I think. It's very infrequent that Ryan starts the podcast.
Yeah, you know? It's your podcast.
He did host the podcast at least once when I was traveling last summer.
I think I had Jim on.
It was like around this time last summer.
Yeah. I'm doing well, trying to beat the heat. I think it hit 100 today in Wichita, but like we had a heat index of like 105, I think. It's nowhere near as bad as like in Texas right now.
Yeah.
But this is like the first real heat we've had all summer. So
that's one thing that like I don't miss, that the humidity, you know, I like just like we were talking about, like last summer when I went back to Pittsburgh, I got off the plane and I was like, this humidity is crazy, because you don't have that here in San Diego. It's just like sunny and 70. It like doesn't get super, super hot. Yeah. Tall Tosh said 104 in KC today. That is hot.
It's hot.
I feel like this room right here would just melt if it was that hot here.
Because you're like on the west side, aren't you?
Well, yeah. So
window face west?
Yeah. So this window faces like where the sun's coming down, and it's like 5:30 here. So it's just straight sun on this side of the, and it, like I can already feel it that it's hot in here. And especially last summer, like I remember doing the podcast and I would be like sweating under my shirt, you know, and obviously I can't put like, so I can turn on like the AC, but it doesn't cool this room down really at all. And I could like put a fan, but then you guys would hear a fan in the podcast and that wouldn't be good. So I was doing it for the podcast. I was sweating for the podcast. So, but yeah, we have a lot to talk about. Obviously the RTX 4060, launched today. All the reviews are out today. Our review will be coming out tomorrow because we have a non-MSRP model. So all the reviews that came out today are all the MSRP model, which is going to be $299. And the one we have is not $299. And we'll obviously tell you a lot more about that one tomorrow. We have both a written review and a video launching tomorrow, so definitely stay tuned for that. Obviously you can find the video on the on our YouTube channel, so really excited to talk about that. We have a bunch of other stuff, and of course our reviews for this past week, which I took a look at two very cool products as well. If you guys do want to go ahead and follow along, of course, like always, we do have our show notes page that has everything that we're going to be talking about this week, and you can follow along, or if you hear something in this episode and you want to be like, oh, what were they talking about? I want to, you know, research that. It's all in the show notes page with links to every article, so you can go ahead and check all of that out. We'll start with the Height Y40, which is right, you guys can see it, it's right there, it's sitting right behind me here, which is Height's follow-up to their Y60. And I don't know about you, Ryan, but I think the Y60 was probably one of my favorite cases of 2022. It just kind of just changing the front of the case at that 45 degree angle window was just something different. And obviously Height being a newer company, it really stood out. And a lot of the things they did with that case were really smart and just made sense. And you kind of wondered like, why haven't you done that before?
Yeah, that 45 looked nice. The included GPU riser cable, and just the way that they made it look, as you know, it wasn't just that generic black cable. They added some, you know, embellished it a little bit, made it look a little cooler for the case. So yeah, I think they did a lot of things right with pretty much all their products they released last year.
Yeah, so this is the follow-up, and they've gone with a more traditional looking case, which I think the Y60 is a much bigger case, and unless you're really going for that type of size, it is bigger. So the Y40 is much smaller case. Still a lot of the same type of design elements and features that you had in the Y60, just in a more traditional looking mid tower. So if we take a look at the case itself, it did no 45 degree angle here, just a normal, you know, like a lot of these cases, front tempered glass, side tempered glass. There is no support here in the corner. So there's, it's full view, you know, you can see everything in here, which is really nice. Now we received the white version of the case, which has of course the black interior, white accents on the top and bottom. It's going to have, like I said, that front, which I love. So you can see straight through into the case. And then you do have some connections, some USB-A and a USB-C on here. Very nice. One thing I always like about height is like everything is just designed, just like their design elements are really nice. And if you look at the top of the case, it has the ventilation, but again, it's all to this, like, I don't know what you want to call this type of.
It's not just like straight rectangles and squares, right? It's like a little bit of an art to it, you know?
Yeah.
Almost abstract.
It all goes together. So if you see this kind of go in this sort of angle here, if you look at the back side of the case, that kind of connects down here where you have more ventilation. So it all kind of flows together, which is really nice. Now, this case does have a side panel that I have it on this side. Maybe I don't. Okay, yeah. So this case has one of the side panels, as you can see. No screws or anything like that. The side panel sort of just like pops off and it kind of sits here like this, sort of like 10% open, and then you can pull it off, which is awesome. One, it just makes it easy. And two is that I've dropped so many panels and I've ruined, I used the IKEA tabletops. And I mean, every time I'm doing a case review, like just sometimes I just drop a panel and I scratch up that tabletop. And I'm like, I got to go buy a good IKEA and go buy another one.
Well, at least they're cheap tabletops.
Oh, no, they're expensive now. They used to be really
cheap. You can get them like $7 or something like that.
No. Yeah. So that's the issue is that, yeah, they were like super cheap. You could get them. And I get like a longer one for like our video shoots. If you guys watch our YouTube videos, you see it's like a longer one. And that one used to be like, I think at most like $30-$40, right? Because it's very wide. Now that's like $100.
Oh my gosh. Their prices have gone up.
Yeah. So the side panel, like I said, is awesome. Yeah, great design there. And as we go inside, we have support for ATX, up to ATX. So no extended ATX on this. You can see the riser. So you still get that riser, and the riser matches the case. So as you can see, the casing for the riser is white to match the case. And if you're doing some type of white theme build, which I think a lot of people would be doing in here, it's going to match. And just like Ryan said, those, you know, all the other risers that you buy, they're just like a plain kind of cable looking thing. This just gives it some style and really makes it look like a card, right? It makes it look like an actual card's being installed in there, which is really cool. And of course, that allows you to vertically mount your graphics card. Now, just like the Y60, you can only vertically mounts your graphics card. The slots that are on here are only the low profile slots. So as you can see here, if you wanted to add any expansion cards, you really can't. And that's one of the downsides of this case, is that if you wanted to put a sound card in here, anything you want to install here, it has to be low profile. As you can see here, they've made this thicker. So now it is 4-slot, which will support an RTX 4090, of course. So you have tons of room for graphics cards, obviously, in this. If we go to the inside, we do have two fans. So we have one on the rear here. These are RPM fans, just like we saw with the Y60, which is sort of a letdown with this case. I think we all want PWM fans, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that's kind of, you know, what you would want. You can see the bottom section of the case still has that sort of like floor. And again, you can see those design elements just like we had before, all over the case in here as well. Tons of cable routing holes, although these cable routing holes don't have rubber inserts. Everything is rounded, so you're not going to cut your cables or anything like that, but no rubber inserts on any of the cable routing holes here. And then we can go to the bottom section of the case, and that's where you'll find your second fan. So only two fans included with this. And again, they are RPM fans, and I believe they run at 1300 RPM. So, and again, if you look at your cooling support in the case itself, you can do a 360 in the top, which is nice, you know, for your CPU. If you want to do an AIO, you can do up to a, I believe, a 240 or 280 in the side here. And then you have that one bottom fan and the one rear fan. So a little less cooling options in this. Obviously, it would have been nice to be able to fit two fans in the bottom here. But there's, you just can't because the room for your power supply. Building this was, I forgot to talk about the storage. So as far as storage goes, not a ton of room for storage here either, which again, I don't think is that big of a deal, but you can do either a single 3.5 inch or two 2.5 inch drives. That's it.
I feel so like not, that's pretty standard on cases this size.
Yeah, and I think these days, you know, you're going to probably at least have one NVMe, which is going to be your OS drive, and then, you know, you can load your games on two SSDs. I mean, do you know a lot of people building a new PC that are using 3.5 inch drives?
No, unless they're building them like to be a like storage,
yeah, you
know, server type build. No, I don't know many people throwing 3.5 inch drives in their desktops anymore.
Yeah, so this is a removable storage bracket comes out, which I'll show you on the installation. Like I said, the installation is extremely easy. You know, go ahead and install our motherboard, get our riser installed in it. It's kind of worked out well because we use this old Asus X570 Pro, which is a white theme, sort of white and black theme, and you can see how well the riser looks, you know, installed in there. Again, this is the removable storage bracket. Install our drive, get it in there. Power supply slides in from the back, no issues there. Goes in, no problem. Installing your graphics card, again, vertical graphics card. And you can see how we routed our cable around here quite nicely. Just goes right around, which is nice. And that is the back of the case with everything sort of connected. They do include cable ties, and there's tons of tie down points. The only thing I really tied down was like the my main 24-pin power connection from our power supply. Everything else can you can kind of hide under the bottom here, which is pretty nice. And then you can see very, very clean build, which I think is great with this case. You're going to have a very clean build, which I definitely like. And then, you know, I think that if you are going to want to light up this case, we do have some RGB memory in here, but if you did want to light it up, I would get some RGB strips or get definitely some RGB fans. That's, you know, that's kind of what you're going to get there. So the only thing about this case is that the thermal performance is not necessarily the best. It's not horrible. But again, you're only getting two fans, right? So, and that bottom fan is sort of blocked a little bit with like the floor of the case. So I would say you're probably at least going to want to get two fans for the side here. If not some other type of fan, you know, if not replacing the two RPM fans, and the RPM fans are decently loud too. Especially if you look at like our noise, I mean, it's one of the loudest cases, you know, that we've tested as far as noise levels go. I mean, it's pretty high when it comes to noise levels. So definitely something to keep in mind. But overall, I do like the case. I think, you know, if you are doing a certain type of build, this is a case that you're definitely going to be looking at. It has a lot of unique features. It is $140, which is expensive. Or $150. Yeah, $150, which, again, we have to think about the PCI Express 4.0 riser, which one of those by themselves is like $40. You know, but, you know, you can find a $100 case that comes with four RGB fans for the same price.
That is true.
Yep. So it's kind of all what you want. I do feel like the quality of this case is probably going to be better than those type of cases. And the ease of use with the side panels and things like that, you're not going to get that on those $100 cases, obviously. So I think in the end, I do like it. But you have to know its limitations and certain drawbacks, and obviously consider price as well. So I gave it an 8 out of 10. Like I said, the loud fans and not the best thermal performance were the kind of cons. And again, I do feel like a lot of people don't think about the riser when they think about the price, right? Because this is more or less a $100 case with a $40, $50 riser in there. because it's PCI Express 4.0. So
yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so that's kind of what I feel about it. I like it. I can see a lot of people building in this just because it gives you full view of all your components, and it's really easy to build in as well, which I definitely like. So yeah, check that review out. The second thing is something that I've been wanting to install for a while, and I finally got around to it because I was having this issue with my computer, and it fixed the issue that I was having too. Did we talk about it last week? The issue I was having with my my one card reader.
Yes, where it was going at like USB 2 speeds.
Yeah, maybe? Yeah. So that's the reason I finally got this thing installed too. So Kingston had sent over their workflow station and the readers, which go in the workflow station. And what this is essentially is more or less, it's a USB 3.2 hub that has these little modules, as you can see, that go in there. And those modules are for like their card readers. One has USB ports, and it's a completely modular system. And this is really made for like content creators. I know you, Ryan, you have multiple different devices, and I do too. And I'm like, I mean, we're not these massive content creators, but I have like, you know, I have this camera. I have the camera that I'm doing this on. I have an action camera. I have a drone, and all of those take different memory cards as well as different size of memory cards as well. And the Kingston workflow station wants to really simplify offloading things and just make it easier and just give you one central location where you can offload everything, right? So like I said, it is a USB 3.2 reader, and it's obviously a lot bigger than like a normal card reader is, because it's more or less a hub. So we can take a look at it here. And then, you know, it's a type C. So you have a single type C that's going to go to your computer. And then it had, like I said, it's a hub. So it has four of these slots that have male USB-C connections. And that's where you go ahead and install the modules. Now, the base kit comes with a single module, which is the USB module. The USB module just has a type A and a type C on it. And then you can pick up other modules. So Kingston sent us over their micro SD and their SD readers. So obviously, the SD reader has two SD card slots, and the micro SD has two micro SD card slots. It was kind of weird that, and these are the only ones that they offer, which is weird as well.
I'm surprised that they send it, that it comes with the USB A and C. Like, that just seems pointless to me on this device. I think it should come with like the SD card reader at a minimum.
Yeah, I think that would have been, or like they should make a combo one of these.
Yes, a full size SD and a micro SD. Absolutely.
Yeah. And there's like for professionals, because again, this is more of like I feel like this is more a professional product. For professionals, like there's no CFE Express card reader, which is like a standard for really high end cameras. So that's not available on here as well. But yeah, so again, it's just going to come with this one, and then you have to buy the other ones extra. And we'll get into pricing as we get to the end here. But they plug in, and you're kind of good to go. And what's really nice about these is that each one of these modules has a female type C. So say I'm going on a trip. Obviously, I don't want to take this big thing with me, right? So I can pull one of these out, get a type C. You know, they come with a type C cable. And I can throw it in my travel bag, right? I don't have to bring the whole thing with me, which I think is really cool. You know, like I said, and another thing that's really cool about this is that you can really use any device that has a female type C connection. As long as it fits down in that slot, you can use it. So I actually tested, I put one of my portable SSDs that's down funny. In there, and it works no problem, which is cool. So, you know, that's really one thing that's great about it is like portable SSDs. And as you can see, it provides one central location where I can offload data, where I can swap out different portable SSDs. So I do all of my video editing on portable SSDs, and I have one for ThinkComputers. I have one for like personal stuff. I have one for travel, and I can just swap those out, which makes this device even more awesome, I think I would say. And Kingston sent us over a bunch of their SD and micro SD cards. We tested all of those. This is a very fast device. You know, one of their fastest cards that they have. I mean, that's super, super fast for a SD card, as you can see there. So really cool device. I think it is really, really cool. You know, it's fast. It gives you tons of options as far as like how many cards you can install and things like that. Because most card readers you buy these days are like SD, micro SD, and that's it, right? Where you can, you know, really do, you could do multiple, you could be offloading multiple cards at the same time without losing the bandwidth, which I think is really cool that you can do with this. It is decently expensive. You know, think about the prices for card readers. Card readers are very, very cheap. Now, not all card readers are going to be USB 3.2. They're not all going to be very fast or support certain cards. This supports the fast. The card modules support the fastest cards available. So you have that covered. So it's $59.99, and that's the hub with the USB modules. And again, that USB module has one USB-A, one USB type C on it. And then the SD and micro SD modules are $24.99 each. On Amazon, they actually have it where you can buy the entire thing. So you can get the hub, you can get the USB module, the SD module, and micro SD module for about $105, which is not cheap, right? For a card reader, essentially. But if you're a professional, I think this solves a lot of problems and it just makes things a lot easier. And it, again, that's why they call it the workflow station. So it streamlines your workflow, I would say. And again, time is definitely money, because as we talked about last week, when you're trying to offload 4K video files over
two.
Yeah, over the card reader that for some reason was only going USB 2, it takes a long time. And when you're trying to get stuff done, waiting for that offloading is the worst. Yeah. Thing, and you just feel like you're wasting time because you can't continue your work because you need those files. So it definitely saves time as well, because it is a very fast hub and the card readers support the fastest cards out there currently. So
I'd love to see Kingston come out. You know, you mentioned putting in your own Type-C external SSDs. Like, I'd love to see them make a SSD module that would pop in here, right?
There,
so you can throw it into this thing. Or like an M.2 NVMe module that you can put drives in, and then you
know. Their own SSD fits in here. The SX.
I know, but that has the same like, you know, design work and everything.
Yeah, yeah, that has the same. Yeah, that would have been nice. And like I said, I would have liked to see more options as far as the modules. Right, these three modules are the only ones that are currently available. Obviously no CFE Express, but for people who aren't professionals who might want something like this, like a combo micro SD and SD would have been nice, right?
I'm surprised there's no ports on the dock itself, like a micro SD on the front or a USB on the front.
Yeah. Yeah. Because like this can do anything, because it's essentially a USB hub with modules, right? And there are a lot of other connections and things that you can do through that USB interface that could be thrown into a module, right? So yeah, I like it. I think for the average user, it is pricey, especially considering like if you are buying a fast SD card or micro SD card, a lot of them these days will come with readers. That might like make the card like $10 to $15 more expensive, but it comes with the reader anyways. But I think if you are a professional and workflow is something that you care about, this is going to be a great product. And for me, I really like it because now I have it's sitting here. So it's like one central location for all of my portable devices and my SD cards, my micro SD cards is where I offload everything. And it's all like, I can reach it all. You know what I mean? It's at arm's length, which is really awesome. So cool. Yeah, really, really, really cool product there as well. After that, we're going to get into Casemon Friday, and we have another build from Sneff, and it feels like we feature him like once a month. I feel
pretty regularly. Yeah.
He is probably one of my favorite. Like if I had like a top five favorites, builders, modders, he would probably be in it. So, so he did a build in the Lian Li PC V3000 GGF edition, which of course is our friend Stuart. And just awesome. This like his style, you know how much I like these type of, you know,
custom acrylic work and everything.
Custom acrylic work, all nice. The like the cabling back here, which is awesome, you know, with the lighting that accents it. Just, yeah. Of course, the frosted tubing. Here we have like a white, orange, and silver design, which I think looks great. This massive reservoir, which is also like a, what would you call it? Like a mint plate type thing here. And he has the what do you call this section right here? That's part of the like channeling built into the base as well. So it brings obviously
the shroud for the power supply area. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, great. Like I said, and he's using that Maximus Apex board, which is an awesome board there as well. Just sleek overall design here, which is probably why I feature him a lot, because he is one of my favorites. And I just think his builds are just absolutely
and the back has that, you know, distro plate there, nice and big. This is cool. I like this.
Would you build like you have a massive case now, would you build another system in a massive case again?
Probably not next, but yes, I would for sure. I mean, I still really like the NV7 from Fantex. There's a lot of cases that I like that are larger. They're just, man, you cram a lot of gear in there, especially water cooling, and they get so heavy so quick. And
that, and then like you don't realize, so like, you know, you're like, you build out all your hardware and then like, I have to buy 13 fans.
Yeah, all these fans you got to throw in there. And if you're doing water cooling, depending on whether you're using a lot of fittings or doing bends, it just, it adds up quick.
Yeah. But yeah, this is just an excellent, excellent build. Yeah. This is something that I don't think I could do. Like, I mean, obviously I could do it, but it would just like the time it takes to,
it'd be frustrating.
Yeah. Frustrating to route everything, but just excellent, excellent build from Seth. So go ahead and check that out. Of course, on the Case Mod Friday section of our website, we have a ton of builds there. We'll move on to news. And like I said, at the beginning of the podcast, I can't necessarily tell you my results from the RTX 4060 because we tested a non-MSRP model. I can tell you about the card because, at least to my recollection, I mean, Zotac has this listed on their website. So, I mean, here's the card from Zotac. It's actually one of the few white cards if you're looking for a 4060. And it has some RGB lighting on it, which is pretty cool. So here's the card. I can't tell you about my results, like I said, but I have a list from Tech Power Up, who did like 6 or 7 cards. And I think we always talk about, like, if you're looking for comprehensive graphics card reviews, if you're not going to our website, check out Tech Power Up. They always have great reviews and really in-depth and tell you all the good stuff. So in their testing. So if you guys remember, we'll go over it because I don't think we'll talk about it all that much on next week's podcast because we'll be a week later. So when the RTX 4060 series launched, 3 cards, if you remember, RTX 4060 Ti, which we reviewed and we have a video on if you guys want to check that out on our YouTube page. And then there's the RTX 4060, which is this card. And then there is an RTX 4060 Ti 16 GB, which again, and we've talked about this and I won't go into it, but 2 of the same cards with different VRAM, weird and confusing to the customer. And then again, we're getting TI cards at the same time. So what's going to happen with the refresh? We don't know. But as far as performance goes, and I said this last week, I was like, I hope this card, because the 60 series, if you look at the Steam survey, that's what the most used card. It's 1060, 2060, 3060 are all in the top 10 right there as far as graphics cards. And so many people are still gaming at 1080p. This is going to be like the bread and butter for NVIDIA as far as, you know, as far as selling the most cards, this segment is their bread and butter. So if we look at the performance, and again, this is from Tech Power Up, the card is in their test suite is 5% faster than Intel's Arc A770. It's 10% faster than AMD's RX 7600, which we've already seen discounts on. It's 20% slower than the RTX 4060 Ti. It's 13% slower than AMD's Radeon RX 6700 XT. It's also 10% slower than NVIDIA's own RTX 3060 Ti, which means it's anywhere from 10 to 12% faster than the RTX 3060. So if you look at performance, this is a capable 1080p card, right? This is a card you're going to get 80, 90 FPS in games if you're maxing out settings at 1080p, right? 1440p, you're going to be right on that 60 FPS line, I would say, around that. So this is really 1080p card. As we kind of designate, you know, NVIDIA really designated the 4060 Ti as the 1080p card. So you could even say this is the esports card. With this type of performance and kind of what else is out there, it's hard to really justify upgrading this if you're upgrading to this if you're on the 20 series or if you're on the especially 30 series. There's no reason to upgrade,
right?
I think that I don't know if you've read any of the reviews or anything like that, Ryan, or saw anything.
So I had a chance to read through glance through one of Tech Power Up's reviews. I just chose to go with the Asus Dual OC card that they had. And I just kind of flipped through it, and I was just looking at the graphs, and another great thing about their reviews and graphs is that, like, I'm on a 2070 Super, and a lot of their graphs include, you know, results all the way down to like the 1060, 1660, and 2070. So I was able to kind of be like, you know, look at their results with the 4060 compared to like a 2070 in there, and really determine, hey, you know, like, what would this be if I was in the position to upgrade a card? You know, would it be beneficial to go from my 2070 to this? And man, I don't think it would be at all, you know,
especially at the price.
Right. So I'd definitely be looking above, you know, to the 4070, 4070 Ti level of cards. Not that I wasn't already looking at that anyways, but yeah, it's just nice to see that difference there. But that was really the only one I got to see. Again, I think, you know, you kind of mentioned, well, never mind. I can't say, I just about spoiled something.
I sent Ryan my written review yesterday.
Yep. I'm not going to spoil that. But you made a comment in there that I agree with. And we mentioned previously as kind of just like some in our talking about it. So I think you've got a great point in a lot of great points in the conclusion that folks can read there.
Yeah, I mean, I can talk about some of that. Obviously, I think that the 40 series, and we've talked about it at length on this podcast, which we won't necessarily go into, but the 40 series has kind of been a mess, right? And I think that gamers specifically have been very upset with NVIDIA, whether it's pricing. We had the RTX 4080 kind of debacle where they obviously, you know, initially launched two RTX 4080s, was a 16 gig and the 12 gig, but they weren't just a VRAM size change. It was a completely different GPU, and they got called out on it everywhere, and they changed that to what is now the RTX 4070 Ti. So that was like, NVIDIA, what are you doing? And then with this, like I said, three different cards, it's kind of all over the place. And like the pricing, $299 is just too high. And I honestly think, unless you're like in dire need of a card right now, I do think you will see this card in 3 months, 4 months get a price cut. I don't think, or I could be completely wrong, and NVIDIA can sell a ton of these as far as like, you know, this is the card that everybody buys. There's people on 1060s that want to upgrade, you know, but I think it should be at it should be at least 279, if not 249, 259 for this card. And I think that's kind of where you're sitting. And again, it is weird because if you look at it, the RTX 3060 has 12 gigabytes of VRAM.
Oh, I know. This just doesn't feel great. Like, why are we going back?
Yeah. And again, I think at 1080p, you're not necessarily going to notice that. But if you're somebody who's loading these textures and other things and modding games, you will notice a difference. Obviously, in our test, you know, you don't see that. We didn't see it with the RTX 4060 Ti, which also has 8 gigabytes of VRAM.
I think you started talking about, you know, like the issues that this 40 series has had from the start. And I think NVIDIA missed the opportunity. Like, everybody, not only were we excited about, oh, new performance gains and new cards just in general, but it felt like we were at a time coming out of this pandemic when things were not available, and or if they were, they were super overpriced. Like, NVIDIA had the chance to, all right, we're going to have availability, which they have, right? Like, availability hasn't been an issue with this series. But they could have, like, I don't know, that they just screwed up too many things to make it, like, it could have been the comeback, you know, that everybody talks about. And then they came out with the 40 series and just, like, it was the best thing ever, right? Yeah. Feeling like the 10 series again or something. So they just had a lot of chances and they stepped on their own toes and shot themselves in the foot, and unfortunately. Yeah. And here we are with a $300 card that probably shouldn't be a $300 card.
Yeah, old man in the chat says, honestly, $299 is kind of disappointing for 1080p gaming. Yeah. Taltosh says NVIDIA is pushing software gains over hardware gains, and now the 6700 XT looks like an amazing deal. The best 4060 you can buy, an AMD 6700 XT. Yeah, and that's the thing. And it was, I also, like I said, when you'll read my review tomorrow and watch the video, but I mean, earlier this week, I mean, pretty prominent YouTubers were given like a preview. Which I saw and I was like, wait a minute, this card's not out yet.
I know, I did too. I was like, what is happening here?
Yeah, because like obviously we have the dates from NVIDIA and I was like, wait, are they launching early? Like, and again, NVIDIA gave certain YouTubers the opportunity to test the card like a day early or provide a preview a day early. But the only thing that they could show was Cyberpunk 2077 at 1080p with RT Ultra turned on. And anybody can kind of see that one. When you limit somebody's ability to test, that's the only thing they can test. That's kind of weird. And then two, if you know anything about NVIDIA or graphics cards, you know that Cyberpunk 2077 is incredibly optimized for NVIDIA hardware, and their ray tracing is incredibly optimized as well. It's one of the best optimized ray tracing games out there. So what you saw in those previews was the absolute best case scenario for this card. And again, for me, and again, I'm in the space, so yeah, again, I could be more biased, but at least to me, it felt like an ad. Like, right.
Nobody was showing, there was really very little room for differences between any of those results for anybody. They're like, all right, you get a card and here's the parameters we've given you to be able to show, right? The only difference you could make was in the test system that you put it in.
Yeah.
Right. And
again, it just felt like NVIDIA was trying to like really paint a narrative for this release, like maybe to get people hyped on the card before the actual reviews come out a day and a half later. I don't know. I think if NVIDIA priced this, if they price this at $249, it's a good buy, and it would be that bread and butter, you know, but it's just not. It's hard to recommend this card. Now, would I recommend this over a 4060 Ti? Yes. For sure, because the 4060 Ti really looks like a bad card after this card comes out, just in that respect. Now, Ryan, would you buy, so you're on the 2070 Super, would you buy a 40 series card, or are you going to wait to the next generation?
I don't know. It depends on how long it takes Silverstone to release this other case so I can decide. Because, like, I want to build a smaller build.
Yeah, yeah.
And, but I want to use my 5800X3D.
Yeah.
And I'm not opposed to building with a 40 series card. Because I don't think I want to wait till that 50 series, right? Like,
yeah.
Because then, from my perspective, I'll feel like my 5800X3D is, like, holding it back, maybe. So, yeah. I don't know.
Well, we'll give you, do you think there's going to be a card below this? Do you think there's going to, they have to, right? Because there is that $150 to $200
For price perspective, yeah, absolutely.
Man. Before we move on to the rest of the news, Lord Taltosh says, LTT put out a comprehensive test suite. And the video came out 4 hours ago, and the A750 beat the 4060 in places, and that card runs as low as $180 on sale. Yeah, that's what I think. I think a lot of people are really going to look at the A750, A770 with the discounts that, and they're like, okay, maybe I will pick this up, or maybe I will go to AMD this time around if I'm upgrading or whatever. You know what I mean? I think for a lot of people, they were hyped, and we all get hyped on new graphics card architectures and things like that. You know, maybe they're like, I'm just going to skip this generation. Like, I'm not getting my money's worth. I'll just keep on running my 2060, my like 2080 in a lot of people's cases. You know what I mean? My 1080, you know, it's still doing what I needed to do. So we'll see. But talking about next generation, NVIDIA says that their ADA Lovelace successor will come out in 2025, which means it's delayed slightly. So if this is going to come out in 2025, what are we going to see next? What are we seeing this time next year? Like, we already have TI cards in the stack.
Supers.
Like, bringing back the super. I did like the look of the cards. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know.
Because you got to do something, because they've got quite a few cards out already. Yeah. Right. Their lineup is
from a business perspective, you can't milk these cards till 2025. I mean, we don't have you're obviously going to get a 4090 Ti, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you're going to get that card, or whatever they call it. You know, do you think they'll change the naming at all? Like, we'll get something new. We won't get a super. We'll get like I don't even know what you'd call it, or something.
Go the Intel route and give us.
Yeah, who knows?
I don't know. I mean, I think super. I think people would be excited to get a super, right? That's your refresh, right? If we could just start out with like, you come out and with your
if Nvidia
series,
could
your TI, then your super.
If Nvidia could, you know, by 2024, fix some pricing is going to go down a little bit, and they kind of garner back some of that reputation lost, right? Because a lot of gamers are upset at Nvidia, and I think maybe with a refresh they could bring better performance, some other things, but who knows, right? I think gamers are still going to complain about prices in 2024. Oh, yeah. if we do see a refresh, but maybe they can garner some of that back, so we'll have to see. But yeah, so that's going to be 2025 will be the 50 series, I guess, if that's what we're going to call it.
Yeah.
But talking about if we are going to see like a 4090 Ti or maybe a Titan, we've talked about a Titan coming possibly. These pictures were posted on a website, and you know, this is the more interesting picture, this one, and we've seen this thing before, that has the connections in this kind of vertical orientation. Thinking that, is this the Titan? Are we going to get a Titan? Maybe that's the refresh. It's like, hey, we're just going to put out a Titan.
Possibly.
You know?
I mean, they even say Titan Ada.
Yeah.
I mean, this thing's huge. Somebody was calling it a cinder block.
Yeah.
It's
big. Four slot.
Massive.
So we'll see if that, and we like I said, we've seen kind of some leaked images of this cooler and things like that. Don't know what it's going to be, but we'll obviously keep you guys updated. But I think a lot of people would like a Titan, right? I think there's people that just want the best, whatever the best card is that I can get. Like, I'm going to drop money. I'm going to be the guy at the LAN party that's like, Titan.
Look at that, Titan.
Yeah. You know, there's like people that are like, Ferrari. They're like,
Exactly. Like it's the old Fast and the Furious. He's like, more than you can afford, pal, Ferrari or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, it would be nice to get a Titan, I think. I think that would be the fun thing. And to see, you know, the performance and obviously what people are going to do with it and what it looks like, because the Titans have always like looked a little bit different than the gaming cards, yeah. Right? So it would be cool to see that. Talking about Intel, they are discontinuing their Arc A770 limited edition. Now, they aren't discontinuing like AIBs from making it. So right, this is right. The A770 16 gig. And they put out a product change notification that it is being discontinued. Maybe they themselves are not selling enough and they're just like, okay, we're going to discontinue this SKU. We're only going to sell the 8 gig SKU, you know. But you can still buy 16 gig ARC A770s. I believe there's a couple AIBs that are making the 16 gig. So you can still buy them if you wanted to. The Acer's Predator Bifrost and the Gunner Photon are available in 16 gigs. So it is a little weird, maybe, because, again, it was the limited edition. Maybe it was only a certain run, and then they were done.
Yep. It is interesting, though, that you've only got those two other options for these Intel cards.
Yeah, but I think that was, like, a good kind of entry point, right?
Yeah, maybe don't. Yeah, spread it across, everybody.
Yeah, so we'll see, you know, what's going to come of that. I don't think that... I think this was, again... You know, Intel is not necessarily, like, a card maker. I mean, you know what I mean? Like...
A hardware.
Yeah, the AIBs are the, you know, that's kind of what it is. Maybe that's what it was. But yeah, that kind of came out this week. We talked about this, the Radeon RX 7600 discounted down to $249. This happened right before the launch of the RTX 4060. Yeah, a bunch of discounts on Amazon and Newegg. We have all the links if you wanted to pick one of these up. This is very compelling, given the performance of the RTX 4060 at its price. And again, I think you are going to see some price wars within this sort of $2 to $250 range. And Intel is going to jump in that as well, because you can pick up those cards for in that price range. And again, this is where a lot of people are buying, because there are so many people are still playing at 1080p, and these are very capable cards. So it'll be good to see a lot of competition. And again, with competition means prices, price wars, and price discounts and things like that. So yeah. Lord Taltosh in the chat, he said SLI 490 Titans requires its own personal reactor, but runs Cyberpunk 2077 at 8K at 12 FPS.
Slideshow gaming.
Yeah, that's the thing with those Titan cards, is like people would put like a handful of them in a system because they're doing, you know, they're obviously not gaming with them.
And it was the cool best builds were like the Titans with the Star Wars themes, right? Empire and Rebel.
Yeah, those are really cool
varieties.
We had a couple new handhelds announced.
We got all sorts of handhelds lately.
The new Ryzen Phoenix APUs are like what's powering all of these. So you're going to see a bunch of refreshes from companies that have been making handhelds. And I think this APU is much more, that's why, like, again, the ROG Ally, like it's much more capable than previous APUs. Sure. So a lot of people are getting excited about these. I think this one looks really cool. This looks like a PSP. So this is the GPD Win 4. And as you can see, it looks a lot like a PSP, and it does have the pop-out keyboard, which isn't incredibly functional as far as like productivity, right? But like in a pinch, it's just nice to have that there, because like some of the other ones we've seen comes with like a detachable keyboard, but like you forget that thing, and this has a little pop out and you can.
It's like the original Motorola Droid, I think.
Yeah.
Had that slide screen and you could type.
Yeah. So this thing looks cool. I like this thing. It
very much look like a PSP.
Yeah. It's very much like a PSP. And they have a white edition here as well, but yeah, it looks a lot like a PSP. What size is the screen? 6-inch screen, so not as big of a screen as some of the other ones we've seen, but still, like, I mean, playing PC games, like these are full PCs, which is crazy, right? And the amount of performance, being able to play at 1080p on these screens is just awesome, I think. So that's the first one. And then the second one is from ONT Netbook. And they're doing like, I think, is it Kickstarter? Or what are they doing? Is it Indiegogo for this one? So this is, this one looks a lot like an ROG Ally. Like a lot. Very much like an ROG Ally. Same thing. This is using the Ryzen 7 7840U. 7-inch 1080p 120 hertz panel. Very much like the ROG Ally. And if you look at it, especially from this side, it looks a lot like an ROG Ally. Full-size USB on it and all that. So, yeah. I kind of like the one that looks like a PSP more just because it's a little smaller. Which one would you get?
I like the... I don't know. I like the visuals on this one a little more.
Okay.
I was never really a fan of the look of the PSP. And well, I really like the look of the Asus.
Yeah.
Since this one looks more like it, this is, I favor this one.
Yeah. I remember when I first got a PSP, like way back in the day, and I was like, man, this thing is so cool. Like, it was so cool to have, like, it felt like such a powerful little machine in your hand when I had a PSP. It would be nice to, like, have one of these for a little bit and kind of play with it, but I just couldn't. Yeah. I could never justify the price because I'm not going to, like, use it a lot, but. Yeah, these are really cool. And we're going to see a lot more of these. Like I said, the Ryzen Phoenix APUs are very powerful, and you're going to see a ton of these come out. And I think that if the ROG Ally is as popular as it purports to be, a bunch of other companies are going to jump on the portable gaming kind of bandwagon as well. So, so yeah, new. This is like a work thing for you, Ryan. Got to get one of these for work. A new Dell UltraSharp monitor came out.
I did see this.
Yeah, so this is the UltraSharp U3824DW, 34-inch ultra-wide curves.
I'm glad Shinny Gaming isn't in here. He'd be asking for one of these tomorrow.
Yeah, so I remember when I first got my first, like, Dell used to be like the default when it came to monitors. Like, Dell was just, especially as you got into the bigger displays, like why
I had the Dell 2001 FP. It was a 20-inch,
yeah,
oh, 1600 yeah. by 1200, I think, was the resolution, and it was like just this badass monitor that was, look at it now and you're like, good lord.
I really think that Samsung has taken over that, right? That title as far as like big and, you know, but this has a really awesome feature set, 38 inches ultra wide. And it has that, it's 3840 by 1600. So you are getting more vertical space, which is nice. Just like we're seeing, like all the laptops now are not 16x9, they're all 16x10. So you're getting more vertical space, which I think a lot of people appreciate. It has like the full USB ports. You get, you know, fast type C's on here. It has the it has Ethernet's, like everything into here. Like it's awesome.
What was the price on this? It's like $1,500.
$1,529.99. Would you buy another? Would you get a Dell monitor
for home?
Yeah. Or would you go like a Samsung?
Yeah, I'd go with the Samsung most likely.
Yeah.
For that,
I would probably,
but I mean, we run Dell monitors at work.
I had a Dell monitor for years. Like, I think it was like, again, like that. The Dell monitor, probably the same one that you were talking about. I forget which one it is, but like everybody had it, and it was like
kind of what this one was.
Yeah,
it's like that monitor for a long time was the one everybody had, kind of like the back when Inforce, you remember the Inforce chipsets? It was like the 680i, the EVGA 680i Intel board that everybody had because it was just like the best. It's kind of one of those products.
Yeah. So, and I still run, so for our graphics card test bench, which is right behind me here, I still run a 4K Dell monitor. And it was one of like the first 4K monitors that you could get. It runs 4K 30 hertz. Like,
4K 30 hertz, yeah. Ooh.
Yeah, so it's one of the first, but I mean, obviously, you know, that's, you know, I'm not gaming on it. I'm testing graphics cards on it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's been a workhorse, and it I mean, knock on wood, it hasn't died yet. And I've had it for whenever 4K like started, we started doing 4K benchmarks. So, I mean, it's been a long time. So I think Dell, I think that's why obviously like they're thought as like more business kind of class, and they've always really been business class monitors, but they last a very long time. So this is a really cool monitor. If I wasn't a super widescreen person, I would, you know, this is, like I said, something I would definitely consider. So yeah, the last thing we want to talk about is NZXT announced a whole kind of ecosystem of audio products. If you remember, they did launch their microphone. I forget what that was called. But they launched this whole relay audio ecosystem, which is made up of a gaming headset, a headset stand sort of USB interface thing, a set of speakers, and a subwoofer. So the Switch Mix is really cool. Basically, it's a USB audio interface, right? But it has this built-in stand that has a pressure sensor, like right here on it. So if you set your headphones on the stand, the pressure sensor, it switches your audio to your speakers.
Oh, that'd be so nice.
I know. It's really cool.
I do that all the time because I use my desktop speakers quite often.
Yeah.
And then I use my headset. So, and I switch back and forth all the time.
Yeah. So this has, like I said, and it has a little switch for your game and your voice you can do and a bunch of other stuff. But like, that is just so ingenious. I think that's the coolest thing right there is seeing, having that. So that's the one. And that's going to be, it's $129.99 USB audio interface plus the, you know, the stand. And then you have their headset, which is $100. And then you have their speaker system. So relay speakers are these two right here. Very nice looking desktop speakers. And these are available in white and black if you don't like the white ones. Those are $249.99. And if you wanted to add the sub is $149.99. So if you bought everything in this, you're over $600 in your audio setup, which is expensive. I think this all makes sense for NZXT. And I like that they kind of made it into like this ecosystem, right? Where everything is kind of works together and things like that. I do think the coolest thing out of this is the Switch Mix, just because of like that. Setting it on there, switches to my speakers, like that's pretty awesome.
And this is does this all like coordinate with software as well?
I assume so. I assume so. I haven't. There's a bunch of reviews out. I saw
Peter over at eTechnics had reviewed like this bundle here of all everything.
Yeah. I believe, so you can check it out. I do think like I said, I think this is like, I'm a big convenience person, and just like you said, like I got to go over here and switch my audio source and do all that. You just put my headphones on there and it just switches right back, which I think is really awesome. So. Pretty cool stuff. Like I said, you can check it all out. Go over to eTechnics, our friends over at eTechnics. If they have a review on this, you want to check it out. But yeah, cool stuff from NZXT. And that wraps up our news for the week. Coming next week, like I said, tomorrow on the website and on our YouTube, we will have a review of this graphics card from Zotac because it is a non-MSRP 4060. I really dig into NVIDIA in the video, so you might want to watch that one. And then I'll also be taking a look at something that Ryan actually has, which is kind of crazy because Ryan bought this because like he was looking for a wireless mic system. He's shooting videos and stuff. And literally like, what was it like maybe like 3 weeks later? It wasn't very long.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right after the company emailed us like, hey, do you want to review this? Which is kind of funny. So I'm taking a look at the Hollyland Lark M1. I took a look at the one. Which is very similar, which is made specifically for the iPhone. It has a little attachment that goes into the bottom of your iPhone. But basically what this is it's a wireless microphone system that's going to work with your camera, any type of device that has the little mic input on it. It comes with two microphones, which is going to be great if you're doing interviews and things like that. Ryan, you've been using this for a little bit. You like it so far?
Yeah, I do. I've been using it for my YouTube videos. Just attached to my Canon M50. It works great. Like, it's so much better than having my wired lav that I was using.
Yeah.
It, like, I do wish though that the, you know, the microphones had a 3.5 millimeter jack so that you could attach one, so I could like put this on my hip or something, yeah, and then attach a standard lav mic. So that's the only downside that I have really found. I haven't used it a ton, but anytime I have used it, I've been super happy with it. The quick pairing's awesome. Like, they're paired just like instantly.
Yeah. So as soon as you open the nice thing
you noticed.
As soon as you open the charging case, like, they're on and they pair, which is
again,
like, somebody, especially again, we're in like on a studio setting here. Like, you know, but like, if you're running and gunning, or you're like, we're at CES and we're doing interviews, like, you don't want to have to wait. Exactly. Okay, I got to pair this. I got to pair this. And we're running around. You only have a certain amount of time. You know,
you pulled it out a couple times, you know, to do just quick videos when there were you and somebody else talking. And it was like, you just popped this thing open, you stuck it in your phone, handed the other person the mic, and you had yours, and it was like done. We didn't have to set anything up. It just is ready to go.
Yeah. So so excited to check it out, like I said. And it comes, like, I have it here, but it comes in like this hard shell carrying case, like everything. It gets really good quality for the price, which we'll talk about it next week.
And then I actually saw an ad for Hollyland on YouTube the other day, like a video. And I I actually watched the whole ad. It was like a minute long. It was for one of their more like professional type products. But I was like, it was a really good commercial. I was like, I haven't watched a YouTube ad in who knows how long.
Oh, well, they caught your attention, I guess. You know,
it did. It was great quality and.
Nice. Well, you will be back on the review scene. We haven't seen a review from you in a bit. So Ryan's taking a look at the Cooler Master Master Liquid 360L Core ARGB. I believe these were announced at Computex, possibly.
Yeah, I don't remember seeing this at CES, but I could be wrong. It's either way, it's new from them. So
yeah.
Yep. Some nice RGB there. Nothing too crazy with it, but yeah.
One thing that Cooler Master has done for 5-6 years now is, it's kind of hard to see, but if you're watching the video, their fan screws are thumb screws.
It's so nice.
It's so nice. I remember because I have 120 mil AIO that I used for something. And again, the person who sent it to me from Cooler Master doesn't even work for Cooler Master anymore. That's how long ago this was. And because I had reviewed other ones from other companies and used other ones. And I was like, I took it out and like the tooling was just like so nice on the Cooler Master one. I was like, wow, this is like nice stuff.
Yeah, so, their screws are usually really nice. Like, their hardware is usually pretty nice to work with.
Nice. Well, like I said, Ryan will have that for you next week as well. Yep. Old man in the chat says the Acer 31.5 144. Didn't we talk about this last week? It's going on sale tomorrow on Newegg. And you say, oh, yeah, dual 31.5s? Yeah. I don't know, though. We still got to get, I feel like at some point we got to get Ryan on like a big monitor, you know?
Nah,
I don't know. We'll see. Or I should get another 40.
Yeah, you just need another one stacked on top of yours.
Oh, like, where would my key light go? Where would the camera go? There's so many things we have to figure out.
Yeah, it's all doable.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. But yeah, that would be kind of cool to get a second one. You'll have to send us pictures of your setup somehow. We can put them up here on the podcast if you do that. That'd be cool. I did want to talk about something cool that was launched this week. Ryan and I are both into cameras. We were just talking about.
I was watching Casey Neistat's video on this today at lunch.
Yeah. So this is Insta360 launched their Insta360 Go 3. Why did this just change? Which is like their tiny little action camera. Like, it's super, super small. This is the second generation of it. And the coolest thing about this, if I can find where they show the pod thing that it comes in.
The body for it.
There. Yeah. So here's like the action pod, and it gives it more battery life. So this is the actual camera, this little thing, but it goes in this pod, which I think is awesome. It gives it more battery life. It gives you a pop-up screen, which is awesome. Right. So if you're vlogging, you can be like, hey, you know, and you can see yourself and all that, which is great. Or if you're shooting somebody else, you have a screen, because this little thing doesn't have a screen, obviously. But the coolest thing about this little pod is that when you take the camera out, it's still connected to the pod wirelessly, so you can view your shot. And the whole thing about this little Insta360 Go 3 or the just like the, you know, the Insta360 Go in general is that it's tiny. Like it's so small. So you can put it in these like really, really small places. But previously before this version, you could never like view your shot. Like what's this going to look like type thing. With this, you can be like, okay, I'm putting this in this little crevice. What's my shot going to look like? I can preview my shot, you know, before I'm doing that. Or if you're like, you know, I'm shooting here in this, you know, I'd be like, okay, does my shot look good? Yeah, it does. Like it's like, it's awesome.
Yeah. This thing's really neat. I like this.
Yeah. Really, really cool. Like I said, Ryan
powerful said that, magnet too. Like, you know, it sticks really well. Yeah. There's all sorts of accessories that I don't know if they come with it. But like, you know, they showed one where it's like clips onto your hat. So you can kind of get that.
I feel like you FPV should get this for your, thing. For your comic reviews. Going through, you know, you put it on your hat and you're going through the boxes, your comics.
Yeah,
and...
but I mean, I have a chest, like a chest harness for my DJI, so.
Yeah. Well, I think it's pretty cool. Like Ryan said,
$350?
I forget how much it is. Let's see, buy now.
Something like that.
So the standalone.
$380. God dang.
Yeah, and again, it's internal memory. So if you wanted the.
Yeah, I don't need it that bad.
Yeah. Super cool. I don't think I'd use it, right? But I like the way they're going. And again, company like this comes out with the flip out screen. Maybe GoPro next one has a, you know, you never know what's going to go on with these. So I like action cams and things like this. Obviously not as much PC hardware related, but it like there's a bunch of videos on YouTube. You can just type in Insta360 Go 3 if you want to learn more about it. I watched a bunch because I'm looking to get like a new kind of fun camera to play around with. But
yeah.
It would be cool to use, but I couldn't justify the cost, right? I'd use it for like a week and then
Yeah. That's kind of how I'm feeling with my drone lately, but.
Well, you gotta, yeah.
It's only on me. I gotta get it out and use it.
I haven't used my drone in 2023, so.
Yeah.
I might, yeah, who knows? But yeah, that is basically it for this week. Is there anything tech related that you have done that you want to talk about or any tech things?
I think so. Did I talk about installing and playing a little bit of Death Stranding last week?
Yes, you did.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, you did. Well, talking about playing games, we're going to transition over to Twitch. Ryan, of course, runs that stream. Where is it? Here we go. So it's twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. Ryan, we'll see. We'll play some games.
We got a couple wins last week.
We were playing very well last week, I think. This week, I don't
know. Well, was it the sniper shotgun mode? Yeah, that's.
Is that gone now? It's,
probably.
Okay. Damn. Well, we're still going to have some fun here and play some games. So I'm actually really looking forward to it. I've had obviously with the graphics card launch and having the card for like 3 days and, you know, running 36 tests and doing all the stuff that we do. It's and, you know, making a video. It's been a little stressful week. So I've been really looking forward to playing some games. Cool. So we will be over there again, twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. Thanks everybody for coming out in the live chat. Of course, Taltosh and Old Man in there and everybody else who of course listens later. We definitely appreciate you and we'll see you guys next week.